It's Carol Tice here with Linda Formicelli. But I want to welcome everybody to our kickoff for our upcoming peer boot camp. This is How to Fix Your Writing Fears Now. And I am here with Linda Formicelli.
Hear me,
Hello.
guys?
Yay, there she is.
Hello?
It's
So, yes,
fixed.
hi, everyone. Hello.
It's always something. Hey, everybody. And we're really excited to work on this topic, which I feel like is really long overdue. And we're starting with this kickoff, How to Fix Your Writing Fears Now, seriously, because we want you to leave this call with a whole new outlook on how to pursue your freelance writing career. We are here to bust fears, remove obstacles, and give you a fresh perspective on how to go after the freelance writing gigs you want. We just want to say we're here to take you from this to this. And also, after that, to this. So that's what it's all about. Here's who we are. I'm Carol Tice. I'm a longtime freelance writer for publications and businesses, including Forbes, Costco, Entrepreneur, and American Express. I write the Make a Living Writing blog since 2008, how time flies, and founded Freelance Writers Den, the learning and support community where writers learn to grow their income fast. And since about 2011, Linda and I have been teaching writing and marketing courses over at Useful Writing Courses. And I'll let Linda tell you about Linda.
Well, first I have to know why Carol's picture is first and it's like higher than mine. Like, what's up with that, right? You know who made this slide? Carol made this slide. So anyway, I will introduce myself. I'm Linda Formicelli. I've written for over 150 magazines since I started in 1997, from Pizza Today and the Federal Credit Union trade magazines to newsstand publications like Redbook and Health. And I've also written for copywriting clients like Sprint, OnStar, Pizzeria Uno, and TripAdvisor, and have blogged for Copyblogger, Right to Done, Tiny Buddha, and John Morrow's Boost Blog Traffic. And finally, I'm the co-author of The Renegade Writer, and I run the award-winning Renegade Writer blog, and Carol and I do Useful Writing Courses together.
And as you can tell, Linda is really funny, and that's one of the reasons I love working with her.
Ha.
So, to prepare for this call, our first step, if our goal is to help you slay your fear demons, was to find out what your fears are. So, we did a survey of over 700 writers. This is one of the biggest surveys I have done in all the years of running my blog, which tells you, what a hot button topic this is for writers. And so first up, we're going to share our survey results. And as we go through them, we're going to kind of give you some tips on how to bust these top fears. And I'm sure everybody is going to see that you are so not alone in having fears around your writing. It's really, really common. What we found was about 38% of our people are kind of aspiring to get into this career. They said they had not started freelance writing yet. And the other biggest group was 21% said they have been at it 4 years or more. So I kind of don't like hearing that people with that much experience are still really hobbled by fears. So we're going to work on that. So the next question was, how often do you find your fears keep you from moving forward? Choose the answer that closest fits you. And this was kind of not good news here. 42% said often, fears are often a factor in holding them back. And 28% said it's kept me from getting started at all. So that's like, and another quarter said fear occasionally stands in their way. It all adds up to a lot of writers who are stymied or held back from putting their writing out there, earning from it or earning well from it, or, doing all that they want to do with their writing career. So this was a little interesting to me, because I do hear from quite a few people who say they are afraid of success, but fear of failure, when you were given a choice of which scares you more, fear of failure was, as you can see, the big winner. So we're going to stop and give you a few thoughts about the whole fear of failure thing. And the first thing I want to say about it is you can only be declared a failure if you're dead. Then it's over and you didn't do it and the end. Otherwise, where there is life, there is hope. You can still write. I have friends who cannot move a muscle in their body who write. You can still do this. There, it's Never too late. You know, we had one question come in that was, you know, I'm a retired teacher. Is it too late for me? No. There's no matter who you are, where you're at, there's somebody who wants that person, who wants that expectation, you know, that person's experience. I know freelance writers also, you know, the thing is you can keep trying. You can do it part-time. I know freelancers who freelance for a while, they went back to a day job for a while, they came back and took it more seriously, and on the second round they earned really well. You know, the question is how are you defining failure to yourself? One mistake is you're a big failure? Boy, I would be like a super massive mistake failure on that score. How about you, Linda?
Yeah. And I
Yeah,
have
I'd
to
be
say,
in trouble.
yeah, and you know, we can't forget that for some reason, when we think of writing, when we think of rejection, people get really, really scared. But we get rejected and make mistakes in all jobs. You could be working as a cafe barista or running your own writing business, or no matter what you're doing, there will be mistakes. And again, the only way you can fail is when you quit. So I don't know why writing has this particular thing about it that people are so afraid of failure and mistakes because it happens in every career.
Yeah, right on. And yeah, we have a couple of formulas for you. Rejection does not equal failure. That's that one thing didn't work out. And making a mistake in something, that's not, oh, it's the end of the world. Mistakes can be recast as learning opportunities. I learned something from that. Next time I'll do it better. And you know, ultimately my take on it is the failures are the people who are sitting on the couch watching Mad Men reruns saying, one day I'm going to do some, you know, I'm going to do me some writing. I'm going to write that novel. I'm going to be a freelance writer and write magazine articles. And they're never doing anything. You know, they're sitting there eating popcorn. So if you're writing and you're making attempts to get published, you're not a failure and you're doing this and you're a writer. So this brings me to what for me was the shocker of this survey. We asked people, you know, which is more often true of you, that you are held back by a specific fear in particular that you can, you know, t describe to me, or it's just kind of a general anxiety, not something specific. And look at how many people, way over 75%, said, I can't even name it for you. It is just an amorphous anxiety here. Three quarters of you. Not even something specific. So what we have are writers who are frozen in fear, don't even know what they're scared of, and it's still stopping them from pursuing freelance writing. We can't even define what the bad thing is that scares us. And we're definitely going to help you get a handle on exactly what is bugging you in Write Big. So hopefully we can resolve a lot of this and kind of daylight what, boil it down and get at what it is exactly, so that we can give you some really practical help with it. So next, writers were asked to name their three top fears from a list of specifics, and it was quite a long list. I'm not going to read all that. If this is off to you, but it was, you know, fear of rejection, fear that my friends will think I'm weird because I'm freelancing, and I've written out here the three big winners that were the top three answers. Number one, by just 1%, was afraid I won't be able to earn enough. And number two, just behind it, was afraid my writing isn't good enough, which is definitely one we hear a lot. And then trailing behind that, the next one, number three, was I'm afraid I'll get the gig, but I'll fail. So we're going to stop right now and talk about these three top common fears. The first thing I want to say about fear number one, that I won't earn enough, is that's a rational fear, you know, fear that I'll go broke, I'll be out on the street. Where a lot of the fears we get, I think, are kind of irrational, that like one mistake will ruin my life forever, you know, kind of things. This is a real fear. And we have, I think, a half a dozen possible thoughts for you on it. And the first one is, hey, you know, work a part-time job while you ramp it up. A lot of people think it's a real all or nothing. You got to go cold turkey into this. And I know tons and tons of writers who freelanced on the side of their day job. They worked as a bar back. They taught. They, you know, do coaching of some kind. They do other things as well. And My own story is that I had a script typing business, and I gradually just typed fewer scripts and wrote more articles until one day, my husband went, I don't think you need to type scripts anymore. Why don't you try just writing? And I was like, hi, you're probably right. I'm making a decent amount on that at this point. I should just go for it. So there's lots of ways to ease your way into it. So number two is, oh, wait, Linda wanted to say some stuff on this.
Yeah, it was all the stuff you just said. So thanks for taking over
Uh-oh.
my part of the script,
I'm
woman.
sorry. Linda wrote a whole book about this called Write Your Way Out of the Rat Race, so she
I
has a lot
did,
of
and it was about what Carol said, which is that, and somebody said here in the forum, Amanda says, I've been working full time while I ramp up. And yes, that's exactly what you need to do because yes, there is always that fear and that possibility that you're not going to make enough money writing, and you have to think about it intelligently and strategically. And for a lot of people, that is, I'm going to get a few gigs on the side while I work full time. When I started out in 96, I gave myself a time limit. I had 6 months to earn a living as a freelancer because that's how many much expenses we had saved up. And if it didn't pan out, then I was going to hit the want ads. And another thing to remember, though, is that if you make the leap into freelancing and it doesn't work out and you can't pay your bills, you can always go back. I'm not saying it's easy, but nothing is permanent. There is no permanent, irreversible situation where you're stuck forever. Even if you're not earning any income, you can always go back.
Yeah, right on. So I'm on to point number two now, which point number two is, one of the reasons writers don't earn enough is because they don't understand how the marketplace works. They end up falling for a bunch of scams and working at really low rates. They're not aware of what professional rates are. And the way you fix all of that and end up earning enough money is to get in some kind of a support group or find a mentor. So that when you say, oh yeah, I'm writing blog posts for $10 each, it's really awesome. Somebody says, what? You should really be getting $100 at least. Yeah, Jennifer says I was almost scammed out of 2,500 through a content mill. Yeah, it's just yeah. So you need input from other people. Don't do this in a vacuum, or you really stand a great chance of not earning a good living at it. Linda, did you want to add anything on that?
Let me see. No, I don't think so.
You think you're good? Yeah, so my next tip is number three is to combine it with other passions. There's quite a few people who really enjoy another way of making a living as well. They teach, they coach, and no one's saying you have to give that up. You can mix writing in as another thing you do. It's not, like we said, an all or nothing kind of black and white situation. So, I think we kind of covered this. Yeah, you can always go back. You may not be happy about it, like this woman, but yeah, you can always go work another stint. And, I remember at one point I just like worked for a temp agency as a secretary for a few months, to get some money. Like, it's not the end of the world, and it doesn't mean you're not a writer and you're a failure. It's just what needs to happen to pay the bills. So our fear buster for this number five is that you can make it easier to make your bills as a freelance writer by cutting expenses, liquidating assets to make it easier to pay. Ha, Linda says, goodbye, cable. And I know people who have moved to cheaper apartments, gotten a roommate, sold stuff on eBay that they had hanging around the garage. There's ways to lower your nut and give you a cash stash, right, Linda?
Yeah, and actually, when I first started out, my husband was in college. He kind of went late in life, in his late 20s. So it was all me earning the income, and we wanted to live in Boston, but to save money so that I could make this work, we moved to this kind of crappy apartment in Attleboro, Massachusetts, across from a Dunkin' Donuts where a motorcycle gang hung out all night, and we drove a $500 rent-a-wreck car. I mean, we literally bought it from the rent-a-wreck place. We never ate out. We didn't have insurance. I mean, I don't recommend all of this, but there are definitely ways to cut costs way down if that's what you need to do and you really want to make it work. And again, it's amazing to see how many people say, I can't save enough to start my freelance writing business, and yet they have an expensive cable package that they're watching 2 hours every night and pricey cell phone service.
Yeah, or they're driving an expensive car, living in a fabulous neighborhood, or, I was always fascinated when I lived back in LA with all the people who lived in apartments but had Mercedes, and we're always like, I can never save up to buy a house, it's all about priorities. Is this important to you, getting to be a freelance writer, living this lifestyle, not having a boss anymore? If so, you look at your life and say, I'm willing to make some sacrifices. Hopefully they'll be temporary, but I want to, make this happen badly. And I'm willing to figure out what it takes to make it happen financially and do it. So the final fear tip I will give you is that I think that for people, particularly who haven't done it, freelance writing feels risky because it's not a steady paycheck. But the thing to remember is that when you have many clients, instead of just one boss, you're actually more secure than when you have one day job. That boss at your one day job could fire you any day for any reason, and all your income is gone, poof. Whereas a freelancer, you're diversified, and it's really rare to lose all of your clients at once. So, yeah, your income may go up and down, but you're less likely to find yourself in that, terrifying situation where you had some big fat paycheck and then suddenly you have nothing and you weren't prepared for that. And yeah, Erlene says I was
Yeah,
laid
Erlene
off
in
in
the chat
December.
says,
Go ahead.
I was laid off in December after 13 years. I was just going to say, yeah, they can just turn off 100% of your income in 2 seconds and you're out on the street. Whereas, like Carol was saying, with freelancing, you're going to have 5, 10 clients. You might lose some of them, but you still have some there.
Yeah, well,
Then you can
meanwhile,
get more.
I know people who have lost their jobs two or three times at this point, since 2008 with the rocky economy. And each time that is just, a complete financial disaster unfolds. So I personally think that freelancing is, in the long run, a more stable way to build your career. And the other thing is, if you look at study data about creative jobs, every company says, I will increasingly outsource creative activities, coding, writing. So if you learn how to do that, you're actually where the jobs are going to be in the future. So it's like this trend is only going to accelerate. Freelancing is only going to get more solid as a career, while day jobs in this line of work get less, reliable over time. So let's go on. Whoops. So I think I missed my
Yeah,
fun
this is
slide.
me.
Fear that my writing sucks. Let's get at it, Linda.
Yes. So if you think your writing sucks, clearly you wear funny glasses that are like held together by tape and you can't do your hair. That's the main thing we're seeing from this slide. But a really funny thing is, and I've spoken to other writers who teach people and mentor and stuff. And the thing they all say, and that we all say, is we only ever hear that from competent writers. Every time somebody says, I'm not sure if my writing is any good, their writing would make Tolstoy cry. But then you get people who can't string together a sentence, and they're like, where can I find the best, most high-paying clients for my writing? Like they have absolutely no qualms, no questions, no problems. Their writing is perfect. So, yeah, so if you're thinking that, then you probably don't suck.
Yeah, the other thing to I think this fear stems partly from the fantasy that many new writers have that, all freelance writers currently working are flat out brilliant, blazing talents. And if you think that, I would like you to go to your nearest chamber of commerce and take home all the brochures or and read them, or maybe look at all those businesses' websites. And that should cure you of the idea that everyone out there is brilliant. In fact, mediocre writing is everywhere. There's all kind of old writing, copywriting hacks out there churning out really barely passable junk. And many, many editors and marketing managers, when Linda and I talk to them, they are sitting at their desks dreaming of the day they could find a better writer than the one they've got now. There's lots of opportunity. We all think our writing isn't good enough. I just had a piece in Forbes that it ended up getting gang edited, and I had to write it. Rewrite it 5 times to satisfy three different sets of editors because someone went on vacation. And honestly, I think the final draft could have been better. I liked one of the earlier drafts. It happens to us all. Linda?
Yes, sorry, I was being rude to people in the chat.
Stop it.
Yeah, and I also want you to know that all writers look back on writing they did 5 years ago or even a year ago, and they just cringe. I mean, I look back at some of my early pitches to places like Family Circle, and I'm like, oh my God, I cannot believe I sent that out. But the number one way to get over the fear your writing isn't any good is to write a lot and realize we all improve as we go. Because the people, we're laughing in the chat here about the crappy writers making money. Well, that's the key. Those crappy writers are making money because they're out there marketing and putting their stuff out there. Whereas all the writers who can really write, they're going, oh, my writing is no good. I can't put it out there. And they're not making any money. So even if your writing really did stink, putting it out there is the key.
So another way to work on writing improvement is get a mentor, take a course where you can get some feedback. You know, we writers really operate in a vacuum and you're sitting in your room alone going, I don't know, is this good? Just stop it and get some input on your writing. Whether it's joining a free writing group or doing something like taking the article writing masterclass that Linda and I put on and has 10 weeks of pro editors giving you feedback on your article step by step. You know, I know other people have just kind of found an editor friend who was willing to help them. You know, when I was writing my first big feature, I kind of just found another friend. She was actually a TV writer, not even a print writer, but she gave me so many good suggestions. You know, and keep writing. The more you write, the less anxiety you're going to have. And for all the writers out there who weren't good in English in school, and I saw we had this question asked in the comments, and or you aren't a native English speaker, I want you to get realistic and realize that if you don't have a strong command of the language you want to earn in as a writer, you need to work on it. You know, stop worrying that it isn't good enough and read the Elements of Style, take an English refresher course. There's another great book, How to Not Write Bad by Ben Yagoda. You know, start strengthening your skills. You can do it. You can end up totally fluent. Ed Gandia, who's a top copywriter and teacher, came from Puerto Rico at like age 8, and you'd never know. I could name many examples. You can become totally, totally fluent, but you need to put in some work on that. So anyway, on to number three.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, hello, she keeps skipping me. What's with this chick? Yeah, some non-native English speakers hire editors. I know an Indian writer who is an award-winning essay writer and cookbook author. She's very prolific. She's doing great. She hires an editor because she knows she is not a native English speaker and her English needs a little bit of work, but that does not stop her, and she's doing very, very well.
Yeah, I see Carol on the chat saying, I'm a decent experienced writer, but my experience is old like me. How do I get some current clips? There's no such thing as too old clips. Your clips still prove you know how to write. It's nice to get some fresh ones, but there's a lot of people are really hung up about that. Oh, my clips are obsolete. There's no such thing. It shows you can know how to write, and you can write it. So on to big fear number three. I'm afraid I'll get a gig, and then I'll fail at it. And this is one of those fears that you should stop fearing. Because if you do this for any substantial length of time, it will happen. It's something you shouldn't be afraid of. It's something you should be prepared for and accepting of the reality of. Every gig that you start out on is not going to end up, you know, being a perfect match, and clients turn out to be complete psychopaths, and things go wrong, and it doesn't work out. And it's okay. What I want to say about it is the big thing to do is ask a lot of questions before you start. And Lynn's posting her top screw-ups that she's done, and I'm posting the questions to ask a client to help avoid these kind of train wrecks where you get a gig and then you fail. The thing to know is there's not, you know, a universal editor network that will alert everyone that you failed at that one gig. It doesn't matter. I have actually had the situation of being blown out at a print magazine after I wrote a really snarky letter to the editor about one of their stories that I thought was very poorly done. And I then went on to write 20 grand a year of blogging for that same magazine for many years afterwards. So sometimes even the same organization. You can go right for a different silo of it. You know, really, there one mistake does not kill us. So if you could get help with only one scenario that scares you in freelance writing, what would it be? Is, I believe, our final question that we ask people. And you can see the top answer down at the bottom there, which was how to apply for online jobs. Really by a pretty wide margin. There were other ones sort of below this on the slide, but this was off and away the winner. So we are going to just attack that sucker right now and talk about how to do this right. The first thing we want to say is that applying for online jobs on mass online job boards like Craigslist and freelance writing gigs and places like that is not the best way to get good clients. It is a haven for bottom feeders. And even if a good job comes on there, you know, 1,000 writers are applying for every one of these jobs. So your odds are always going to be really low. Even if you're amazing, it's just, you know, the numbers are too high. And so I want to encourage you to learn how to qualify your own clients and approach them and do proactive marketing, which is pretty much the core of what we do in the den. Ray says, then where is the best place to get decent clients? It depends on what type of clients you want, but we have a couple of boot camps in the den that really walk you through that in great detail. How to identify good clients and how to get gigs on your own, where you are the only writer hitting them, not 1,000 writers are answering this ad. So Linda has a post that she just did on The Write Life that she's popping in there for you guys to take a look at on
Yeah, and if I could mention something, this post is about how I compare going to these content mills where people are throwing out these crappy jobs and a million people are responding. I call that kind of going after the breadcrumbs they're throwing out, when really you want to be the person who's baking your own loaf, which means doing the work, finding clients, qualifying them, contacting them, and making a case for your writing, because going after the stuff that's lying out there is not the stuff that's going to bring you income. You want to go out and find your own clients, and there is a lot of information on how to do that. It's more work, but you'll make a living that way as opposed to writing for the mills.
Yeah, and so, you know, in general, we want to discourage you from thinking applying for mass online job ads is how you build a freelance writing career, because it's pretty tough to do. But if you insist on trolling the online job ads, I've done it and gotten good jobs and gotten my system down to where it did not take a lot of time, which is key, so you can do proactive marketing. Got it down to like about 10 minutes, three times a week. And here's how you do it. You begin by skipping everything general, everything that's a blind ad, ads that ask for free samples, everything that says you can write about any topic you want for us. I can guarantee you there is no business where writers can do that that pays well. Good paying businesses have a specific thing they sell, and they're going to want you to sell it, to write about that specific thing. So anytime you see that, you know it, there's no money in it. You're looking for businesses that state what they do, give you their website so you can research the company, because here's the secret, is that every once in a while, somebody wanders onto Craigslist who doesn't know it's a cesspit of scams and you know, ridiculously low-paid jobs, and just thinks, hey, you know, I'll try this, and they don't kind of know its reputation, and there's like a real job there. So once you've screened out all of those people, there's not going to be a ton left, but among what's left, you want to only respond to ads you are particularly qualified for, as in they ask for some specific skills, like in my case, they want someone with legal experience, and I'm a former legal secretary. And if you can't make some kind of case that you are the writer for them, that you're better than the average bear, just don't bother. They're going to take someone with legal writing experience for that legal blog. They are. And step three is to write the heck out of your application. And, you know, as someone who gets a lot of guest post applications, I can tell you so many people don't spend 5 minutes on this and they're like, I'm a good writer. Could you hire me, please? Thank you. You know, this is a writing audition, so do it. You know, if you're going to apply, when you boil it down to only a few, you have a little more time to invest and you can really knock their eyes out. And I used to get probably a 50% response rate to ones following this system. So you start getting a lot of answers, and you could maybe get a real gig. And yeah, people are talking about Upwork, which is Odesk and Elance getting combined now. And they are not a content mill, they're a bid site, which it's kind of the same scenario, race to the bottom, but you can apply the same type of rules. And I actually just had a guest post about how to apply very similar rules to bidding on Up. Same
Yeah,
kind of thing.
we have a few.
Skip 99% of it and look for what really makes sense.
Yeah, I know we have this Fear Boot Camp, but I feel like everybody needs to go look at Escape the Content Mills. I'm seeing a lot of stuff on here.
Yeah, we do have a class called Escape the Content Mills that people might want to check out. So Jennifer says, I notice some of the Den job board ones come from Indeed or LinkedIn or Craigslist. First off, the jobs on LinkedIn are awesome because they have to pay to post them. I'm a big fan of those. But if you're seeing a listing on our job board and it emanates from a Mass job board, it means that we have the strong sense that it is a legit job that pays really well. Danny, places like Scripted, I call them move-up mills. Rates are maybe a little better, but it's kind of a similar type of scenario.
Yeah, I think a good hint is that if they are putting out lots and lots of assignments that people are either bidding for or choosing, and the pay is like $10 to $25 an article, I don't care what they're called, I don't care what they say, it's a content mill.
Yeah, one way or another. Tina,
Well, whatever, even if it's not a
what I
content mill, you
said
don't
about
want to
the
write for it.
yeah, what I said about the ads on LinkedIn is they're paid ads. So that tends to qualify some really great clients. If you look at the quality of who's on there, it's like the Fortune 500 and great mid-market companies, and it's real companies on the LinkedIn ads. It's also mostly full-time jobs. So I have a whole strategy for how to work that. But anyway, I caught one about taxes, especially when you're in the bottom tax bracket, when you're starting your writing career. Like, how do you allow for that? How do you understand what you're going to owe in taxes? The rule of thumb on that, I actually used to be Entrepreneur Magazine's tax columnist, so I'm the right person to ask this because I've written a lot on this. With taxes, your first year, you're not going to have to pay till the end of the year. And what you want to do is just look at what your tax bracket was last year, especially if you were in a low bracket, and just set that aside in your in as you get income. Take 15, 18%, 20%, whatever bracket you were in, and set it aside in an account, because that's what you're going to be end up paying. And then after that, you will make quarterly estimated payments based on what you earned that year. You'll estimate for the next year, and it's not a scary thing. You can do this, and you'll be able to plan. And if you run short, you can work it out with the IRS. Really, do not. I don't want anybody to be stopped by concerns about how the tax thing works. Really go for it. I see Linda provided some
Awesome.
simultaneous query info, and she's got another question.
Yes. So, yes, a lot of people are talking about simultaneous queries in the chat, and I have an entire blog post on that that I pasted in there. If you're listening to this later and can't see it, it's called The Art of the Simultaneous Query, and it has a ton of information on what you need to think about when you do that. So, we have a question that I love. It is, I have ADHD and so I'm so often distracted. Any suggestions on getting into the flow when numerous shiny objects are leading me astray? And what I like about that question is that I also have ADHD, and a lot of people just say, "Oh, I'm ADD," but I mean literally, clinically, I've been diagnosed with it. I have it. And whether it's a problem is really debatable because I like to use it to my advantage, and I'm going to actually copy in a whole blog post I wrote about that. Bing. And so I use it to my advantage in the way that I can shift from task to task very quickly. And luckily, if you are truly freelance writing, except for deadlines, it really doesn't matter when you do things and what order you do them in. So you can go after that shiny thing. My trick was I would make a list of all the things I had to do or wanted to do, and I would look at the list when I wanted to do something new and pick the one I felt most passionate about at that moment that I had the most time, attention, and energy for, and went after that. And that way, things always got done, but they got done in my own way. Maybe they weren't scheduled, maybe they weren't in the perfect order, but the important thing is to move forward. So that's the way that always worked for me.
Yeah, I don't have ADHD, but sometimes I feel like I kind of act ADHD all day, in that I'll just let my muse take me. I'll go, oh, I'm writing this blog post. Oh, but wait, I thought of this other thing, this script of this thing I'm going to present. I'm going to write on that for a while. Oh, now I'm going to do this, and it's like fine. I just kind of flow along, and it all gets done in the end, I think like Linda says, embrace it. If that's your style, it's okay. There's not one right way to do this. There's the way that works for you. You find it and you do it, and it's fine. So I got the question. I'm afraid that I'll pitch something and get it accepted, and then as I interview sources and do more research, the topic will come up short. The topic won't be as rich as I initially thought, or I'll be wrong about the slant, and the whole article will have to be scrapped. So I wanted to take this question because I've actually had this happen quite a few times where I talked to one expert and I thought I had an angle on a story. And as I started doing it, I found that the angle would really, that I thought was there really kind of wasn't. And another angle would be better. And I just tell my editor, as I dove into this, here's what happened. And I'm thinking the angle should now be this. And they're usually like, swell, go for it. It's really rare, I think, that if you did a little pre-research and that there's something there, that you will come up with nothing as you research it further, and the thing will really implode. And you can re-slant as you go. That's pretty ordinary. I think people are afraid, but it's okay. Linda?
Yes, I have a question that I hear a lot, and it is, my fear is spending money my family cannot afford so I can pursue my writing. We are already with one foot on a slippery banana peel away from bankruptcy. I've been trying to get a website going for 3 months now, but I still don't know what I'm doing. The tech stuff is holding me back. I've been a housewife my whole career with only a store clerk background. Is there someone out there who has successfully done this without first working in the corporate world? So first I want to say yes, I never worked in the corporate world. Lots of people have never worked in the corporate world, but that is not the thing. I'm going to have to hand out a little bit of bad news here, and that's that the truth is, it is rare for a person to start a thriving business with no support and no money. And somehow, writing is one of these careers, or it's not a career, it's a business, that people think that all you need is a laptop and a dream. Whereas, if you were starting a carpet cleaning business or a home decorating business, nobody would ever dream of starting without support or not being able to buy the things they need. But with writing, somehow, people think that, again, they only need a laptop. You can write, so that's great. That's the first step, but you need support and training wherever your skills are weak, like you mentioned tech or marketing. Because it's a business and you need to have all of those things in place. Also, I have to say, it's really hard to come into writing or any business out of desperation as a last resort. Like, I can't do anything else, but I know I'm a good writer, so I'm going to try that, and I really need to make this work. However, the good news is that you can get out of that desperate spot by getting some kind of job, any kind of job. And you'll probably have more success with your writing. I mean, if you have no money, but you start working in retail at Target or something, at least when you go after those writing clients, it will be without that grasping sense of need that really turns clients off. You need to go after clients with a sense of ease and confidence. That's what attracts people. And if you are truly desperate and you need the sale, you're not going to get it. And one final thing about that is that people feel like, oh my God, I need to make this work because my lights are about to be turned off. But freelance writing is far from quick money. You've got to do the marketing, you've got to land the client, you've got to do the work, you go through revisions, and then it takes them at least 30 days to pay. So you're looking at 60 to 90 days before you even get your first check. So I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but we get this question a whole lot, and I want people to know you have to get yourself out of that desperate, needy situation before you begin a business.
Yeah, any kind of business, really. So I have the question. I know I can write. It's the pitching, knowing what to pitch, the query, the LOI, finding the resource, how to get my foot in the door. I'm used to writing articles and reports and a blog and no pitching was required. I feel stuck, says Lynn. And Lynn, that means you need to learn how to pitch and how to qualify clients. Linda and I also teach this crazy thing called Pitch Clinic. It's the most effective class we've ever put on, honest to God, in terms of just immediate results that writers get starting to get assignments. So feel free to check that out over at our Useful Writing Courses land. So Linda has another question.
Yes, I like this one. I fear success in my writing. I fear if I'm successful, I won't have all the time I need. Fears set in due to disorganization. Any tips? And that is a kind of a high class problem, which is awesome to have. You're so busy that you can't do all the work, but that is nothing to be afraid of. And it's certainly nothing to be so afraid of that it keeps you from getting started, because this is the kind of problem you actually want. And the thing is, when you're so successful that you don't have the time you need to go after new clients or service all your clients, or you're turning away good work, that's when it's time to raise your prices. You're going to get some clients who drop away, but the ones who remain and the new ones that you start marketing to and attracting are going to be paying more to make up for it. And you definitely don't need to be afraid to raise your prices, because if you're so busy that you're turning people away, then that is a sure sign that you need to raise your prices and that your quality has gone up enough that people are all over you trying to get work out of you and you should be charging more. Carol?
You have to build another network of support people, and you have to not care if they don't get it and just smile and change the topic and realize that it's a generational thing. Our parents grew up in the world of jobs, our security, and, you know, they're really never going to get it, really. Don't try and work on convincing them. Just do what you do. And once you're successful, believe me, they will love it. My father is so proud of me. He brags to all his friends, you know, but I'm sure when I was initially doing it, they thought, oh my God, why doesn't she get a job? Anyway, where are we at here? You did, I fear my success writing. I teach, so how do I overcome the fear that what I may write now will be scrutinized by the people I'm teaching? That is my biggest hangup. Well, it will. This is one of these fears you should stop fearing and start preparing for, because, yeah, maybe one of them will read it. You know, it's just going to happen. In general, people are going to be totally impressed. Wow, you also write. That's awesome. You know, and if they don't like it, so what? What happens? Nothing. Linda?
Yeah. All right. I'll go on to the next question. It is, I'm afraid I'll focus my work on a low pay sector of the writing business. And then a second question this person has, or statement, is right now I'm writing a book and I'm afraid it will not sell. So the first one, I'm afraid I'll focus my work on a low pay sector, is kind of a weird fear, because you control where you focus your work and where you focus your attentions. So you don't have to focus on low pay work. However, your fear may be that you're afraid you'll start pitching and only attract low paying work. And you know, that happens to everybody, where you pitch somebody and then they get back to you and say, oh yeah, I'd love this. Can you do it for $5 kind of thing? And as you develop as a writer entrepreneur, you will start to develop a sense of which publications and businesses and industries pay well. And some are obvious. I mean, writing for knitting magazines, probably not very lucrative. Writing about health or tech for glossy consumer mags or big company blogs, those are big money gigs. And the thing is, especially when you're beginning, it is a little bit about trial and error before you develop that sixth sense, and you have to have the willpower and the fortitude to say no. Because sometimes somebody comes to you with a $5 gig or a $50 gig or whatever, and you're so flattered, number one, and number two, you're afraid to turn it down because you don't want to offend a potential client. But you have to remember that there's an opportunity cost for everything you say yes to, where while you're working on that $5 gig, you can't be going after the better paying work. So then there was the question about being afraid of not selling the book. And as with everything in business, with books, you need a platform and a plan. And the dream is that you'll write a book and you'll put it out there and it'll take off. And it happens just enough that this dream persists, but it's, for most, it's not a reality. And sometimes it looks like that's happening. Like, we think of Hugh Howey, who self-published a book and now he's a bestseller and he's probably got $1 million. But what people don't know is that I think Hugh Howey wrote like 6 or 7 books before that that nobody ever looked at. That's just something to think about. You need to study the market. You need to find out what's missing that you can provide, and you need to find or build an interested audience. So you do have some control over the success of your book, but just writing a book because you feel like writing it and putting it out there is not the usually the way to success.
Yeah, if you're afraid it's not going to sell, I feel like I'm confident it's not going to sell because you haven't built a platform and an audience to sell it to, and that means it's not going to sell. Everybody wants to just write something and then start trying to sell it, and that's not the order you want to do those tasks in. So here's one. I've been doing a lot of odd jobs and less legit work for over 5 years, and I can't use those as writing samples. How can I get legit clients and really break into what I want to do, which is writing mental health and emotional wellness blogs for clients? I'm not sure how many great paying blogs there are in that niche, but you could certainly get started. You know, there's any number of places that I think will let you write for free or next to nothing, and you could do a few to get a sample and you could pitch them. It's the step-by-step guide to freelance writing success that kind of hits this exact issue, and people have been asking about it in chat too, that really takes you from, okay, I have no portfolio, how can I quickly get one and start getting paid? This was an interesting fear. My fear is not having enough time to handle responses from prospecting emails I did around, and I was overwhelmed by the requests from the prospects for related samples, price sheets, article ideas. And is there a good way to make sure I'm not drowning in requests? Well, I have good news for Anne. Apparently you rock letters of introduction, because you're getting a lot of responses from a lot of really good leads, and you're good at qualifying leads. It sounds like you're getting really solid leads. You need to look at your response rate, and if you should be able to dial it down and say, oh, okay, well, if I send 10 LOIs, I'm going to get 5 responses, and send the number that you can cope with based on what else is on your plate. I had this other question. I'm trying to find a subject to blog about, sort of a whole nother topic.
I wanted to take that one. Yeah.
Oh, you want to take that one? Go for it.
Yeah, I just pasted it in there. Where is it? Oh, yes, in the chat here we have, I'm trying to find a subject to blog about. How did you decide what to blog about? Has it assisted anyone's writing career? So I have to say yes, blogs can definitely assist your writing career. But the thing about the blog is, if you don't already know what you want to blog about, if you don't have something that you're so passionate about and so full of information on that you think you can do this for the next 5 years and 1,000 blog posts, then don't do it, because it is not enough of a help to your writing career that you want to actually go out of your way to try to figure out what to blog about and then write 1,000 blog posts on something you're not passionate about. It's just not worth it. So you need to really, really already be bursting with ideas before you start a blog, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's true. I think there's a mythology out there that everyone thinks you just have to have a blog if you're a writer now, and that's totally untrue. If you're not looking to get freelance blogging gigs, I think you should think long and hard about whether blogging is a productive way for you to market yourself. So this one says, I'm returning to freelance writing after a 35-year career in technical writing. And I, even though I kept my feature writing impulse satisfied writing for neighborhood newsletters, I fear I've lost my ability to become humorous or ironic or interesting when I write. What's your advice? Well, if you are retired and you need to earn money as a freelancer, you might do some technical writing. That might provide a base for you. But as far as the I'm afraid I'll never be funny again thing, you know, after I had my first kid, I'll just tell you, I just thought my brain had melted and I would never write an article again, and that was 23 years ago. So it's like riding a bicycle. You'll get back on and it'll work. Linda?
Awesome. Which one are we on? Oh, the overwhelmed one. I think I'll do this one. This person says, I have number one, a fear of getting started and being overwhelmed, or fear of success and also being overwhelmed. So we talked about the fear of success a little bit, but I have to say, getting started with any business, you are going to feel a little bit overwhelmed. But why is that a fear that keeps you from getting started? I mean, being overwhelmed won't kill you or it's not going to hurt you. I mean, it's uncomfortable and we all feel overwhelmed at times, but if you try to avoid overwhelm or at all times, then you're never going to take a risk. And also, there are ways to feel less overwhelmed, and I have to do these myself. I talk to my life coach when I feel overwhelmed, and I start doing these things, like scheduling your tasks, being ruthless about cutting out needless work and distractions. And one thing that's really important is there are so many possible things you could be doing as a writer. You need to figure out the top three areas that bring in most of your results. You've probably heard of the, I'm not sure if it's the Pareto principle it's pronounced, but it's the 80-20 rule, where 20% of what you're doing brings in 80% of your results. You want to find that 20%, do those things, and not do the 80% that's not really doing anything for you. So I think that'll help a lot with overwhelm.
So let's get back to our fear busting questions. Linda says she has to go soon, but I'm happy to stay on. So where did we leave off, Linda? At
I
this
have one
when
here. It says,
yeah, go for it.
yeah, I have the next one. It says, I one of my fears besides the lack of clips as I begin my freelance business involves going onto social media. I'm probably one of a few who really do not understand it in terms of how it relates to utilizing it for a business. To overcome this fear, I need more information about which media to use, why I should use it, and how I should use it to my best advantage. And I'm not even going to talk about the social media here because this is such an overarching question that I see a lot, which is that people have this fear of something and the fear of doing it wrong, and they think they can overcome that fear by learning more and more and more, until they finally reach this magical point where suddenly they're no longer afraid. And of course, what is that point? It doesn't exist. You know what really builds confidence is not learning and learning and learning and thinking and thinking and thinking. It's doing something until you're so used to it that it no longer elicits the fear response in you. So the trick is, even if you're not ready for something, even if you know nothing about Twitter, you just get a Twitter handle and you just start, and you're going to learn as you go along. And for me, it was public speaking. The first time I did it, I was invited to speak at a chamber of commerce about an article I wrote for a national business magazine. And I was so scared, I literally almost threw up. And I sucked so bad at the speaking gig that I don't even want to talk about it. And for a few years, I would speak only if I had a co-speaker. But by now, I've done it so much that I can get up in front of almost any audience with almost no anxiety. So whatever you want to do, you know. Yes, it helps to have a little bit of knowledge about it, but you learn the most and you get the most comfortable by just jumping in and doing it.
Yeah, I so agree with that. So I have my fear comes disguised as laziness, avoidance. This is pointless. So many others are so much better. We talked about some of this, I think, in the call. So why don't I hit another one here? I currently have to do 3 articles a week for my local newspaper, and I'm editing a 300-page manuscript. I'm afraid to mark it because I'm not sure how much more I can get done. You know, this is an area that we really tackle a lot in my Den2X small group coaching. How once you kind of get your career in gear, how do you balance that and keep doing your marketing? And the answer is you've got to really get your productivity down and be efficient. And you've got to make time for marketing and make it a regular item on your schedule that happens, you know, 1 hour every day. So someone else said, I need to beat the fear of actually getting the gig. That's that fear of success. And you know, we can give you a lot of tips on how to make that manageable, and I'm definitely including that in my training that I'm going to be doing in module one.
You know what, though?
Got
There's
handled.
one more question I would like
Yeah,
to
go for
get
it.
to because somebody in here mentioned, a lot of people in here mentioned people seeing their stuff and being critical. And somebody today tweeted me about how she wrote something for XO Jane, and there's a huge thread about her on Get Off My Internet that basically picks her apart and looks into her history and looks at her LinkedIn. And you know, you're gonna get people who don't like your stuff, and you're gonna get trolls. And you basically have to just shut them out. And I know it's hard, but if you let somebody, I mean, everybody has an opinion, it's valid. You know, they don't like your stuff, they don't like you, they don't like your photo, whatever. But if you let that stop you from writing, I mean, I just can't think of anything worse. You know, my 6-year-old has that problem at his school where he'll come up with some cool product idea and people make fun of him. And one thing that's helped him, and it helps me, and it'll probably help you, is to take a look online at stories of all the celebrities who are criticized and who went on to something big. I mean, I think Oprah was told by, she was fired and told, I never want to see you on TV again. Stephen King was rejected 26 times. You know, Carrie was rejected 26 times, Stephen King's novel. I mean, just all the people who were criticized and went on to great things, I think that'll really be a big boost for you. But I mean, all I can say is that the trolls are a-holes and you can't let you down. And I know, you know, that's not really actionable advice, but
I fear not being able to come up with ideas to pitch that are fresh. Yeah, well, that's back to join us in Pitch Clinic. There isn't a hashtag on Twitter for the fear class. We could do write big. I like that. Let's do that. I love when people remind me that we should come up with a hashtag for things. I don't do enough of that. So yeah, go on Twitter and talk about the Fear Boot Camp and your writing fears over on Write Big. I'll join you over there. That sounds fun. Let's wrap it up. We'll take more questions on email. Thanks, everybody. Terrific questions.
Thanks,
and we'll see you for Write Big.
Thank
Thanks,
you,
everybody.
Everyone.
Thanks, Linda.
Bye.